Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Odell Beckham Jr. continues to be a free agent and is expected to miss the first half of the season as he rehabs from that ACL injury he suffered in the Super Bowl. He was phenomenal in that game. Beckham emerged as an early favorite to win the game's MVP award until that non-contact ACL tears. OBJ continues to search for a team. The Cowboys' wideout room looks pretty thin with CeeDee Lamb as the top target for Dak Prescott, but after that, James Washington fractured his foot last week, and Michael Gallup is still on the PUP list, and Dallas had some key departures with Amari Cooper and Cedric Wilson this offseason. I will start with you here, Mad Dog. Are the Cowboys the best fit for OBJ?
Well, I think it's a good fit for him, but at the Cowboys, they need more distractions. I mean, OJ, OBJ,
there's a lot of it. Over with him?
No, I do not.
Really?
I think there's always, and especially with that franchise, Jerry Jones gets in the way. We've talked about that 1,000 times. There's so many issues with the Cowboys off the field that I think it hurts them on the field. Mm-hmm. And I think bringing Beckham in there is just going to add to that. Cowboys need a little peace and quiet. You know, they're wrapped up with Hard Knocks.
That doesn't even sound right.
But they never win.
That would be a natural for them.
That's fair. I mean, it's never going to happen, but the owner's always in the way, doing radio shows, press conferences after games. He should stay the heck out of it. And I think bringing him in there, and Beckham's, if he's healthy, and who knows when he's going to be able to play anyway, because he's out for what, to November? Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to say from a talent standpoint they need another wide receiver. My issue is, and for him, it makes sense, but I'm talking about Dallas. If you're a Dallas Cowboy fan, with all the brouhaha that goes on a week-to-week basis, you need to bring Beckham in there. That's the last thing I'm doing if I'm the owner. Because I just think that there's so much things going on, and I want it nice and peaceful. You'd be better off that way. So I would say no to Dallas for me.
I don't think it's ever going to be peaceful in Dallas.
No.
I feel like
and
they thrive on chaos, even though they don't actually thrive and win games on that when it matters in the postseason. Like, my issue with Dallas is that if they wanted OBJ to start with, you know, they could have kept Amari Cooper. Like, that's what that boils down to. For me, in the injuries, you know, Michael Gallup's on the PUP right now. He'll be back within, like, the first month or so of the season. James Washington, we know, might be a little bit longer. Odell Beckham Jr. can't play really until October is the earliest that has been reported out there. I can understand the desire when you look at their depth chart in Dallas and think, oh, man, you know, who's Dak going to be throwing to outside of CeeDee Lamb? To me, it doesn't make sense. To RC's point from earlier, when he was, you know, mad at Mad Dog and I about the conversation with the Cincinnati Bengals of, well, what if Lamar Jackson had, you know, the greatest trio in the NFL of receivers around him? Well, go ahead and put OBJ in Baltimore, because in the meantime, they have a run-first offense that they can rely on and have Odell Beckham Jr. there for the stretch. He doesn't have to be the guy, so to speak. He can play that similar role that he did in L.A. last year, where he's good in stretches. They have a great tight end. They have a great run game. There's so much that they can do without Odell Beckham Jr., but imagine when you do have him. Imagine if you're able to get him in the fold with Lamar Jackson, help Lamar Jackson take his next step as a passer. And I worry about this depth chart that the Ravens have right now, because, like, Mark Andrews is their top receiver, and he's a tight end. There's nothing wrong with that, but he's a tight end. Rashad Bateman, Devin Duvernay, James Proche combined 1,204 career yards. That's a problem. When I look at their receiving core, I think that Lamar Jackson, Odell Beckham Jr., he's out there. He's a top wide receiver still available in free agency. To me, it's a no-brainer when you have Greg Roman saying that Lamar's throwing the best that he's ever seen him throw. You bring in another weapon to help him reach that next step.
RC?
I think when OBJ makes his decision, it'll be based on a team that's contending and also a team that's going to get him the football with opportunities to make plays. Mad Dog talked a little bit about OBJ as a distraction. And I think here is the question I would have to ask him. Name the team And obviously, I guess the one player you could possibly find would maybe be Baker Mayfield, because Odell Beckham's senior put out the video of his son being open and those different things. You go back to the New York Giants. To a player, everybody raves about the type of teammate Odell Beckham Jr. is, right? All the executives, the coaches rave about the type of worker he is. Was he a superstar? Absolutely. Does he have this life off the field that brings endorsements and a life off the field sort of stardom we truly hadn't really seen from the wide receiver position, especially being in New York? 100%. But let's talk about Odell Beckham Jr. in Los Angeles. The Odell Beckham Jr. who we never heard of when Cooper Kupp was getting double-digit targets. The Odell Beckham Jr. that came up huge in each and every playoff game, was the catalyst or the spark plug to every first drive of the playoff. Scores the first touchdown in the Super Bowl, then has the long catch and run before tearing his ACL. And listening to Cooper Kupp list his top five receivers, Odell Beckham Jr. was on there, even injured. And listening to Jalen Ramsey list his top five receivers, Odell Beckham Jr. was on there and he's injured. I know, because it was on my podcast. And so when I think about Odell Beckham Jr. as a distraction, I think that's a little played out. I think that's people who can't let go of biases. I think that's people who can't continue to watch a player grow, or people who refuse to ever admit that a person or a human can actually change. And so I think I want to get that out of the way, get that narrative out of the way that he's a distraction. Now, when you're talking about Dallas and that fit and all the other things that they have going on, when I look at who they'll be in week 8, who they'll be in week 10, they'll be healthier as a wide receiver core, but you can always add another star or another B-plus wide receiver, which Odell Beckham Jr. will be. And now you add him to CeeDee Lamb. Now you give him the versatility of being able to play the slot, being able to play outside, a great running game, 1-2 punch with Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard. I think that's a team that he fits well on from a schematic standpoint and can help that team be better. Courtney makes the greater point in this sense. Odell Beckham Jr. would probably get to go there and be the man. Even coming off of injury, maybe not being 100% healthy, Odell Beckham Jr. would get opportunities to win one-on-one matchups, because we know a team like the Baltimore Ravens is going to have 8 in the box. And outside of Rashad Bateman, who was their first-round draft pick, and I listened to Courtney also mention the combined yardage of the other receivers on the staff, you say, okay, Odell Beckham Jr. will also be the most accomplished there. And so I think the decision is going to come down for him is, how many footballs do I need to be content? We saw in Los Angeles, he wanted to compete, he wanted to win, he wanted to be a part of a great wide receiver room, and he wanted to ingratiate himself into a locker room. He'll have that opportunity late in the season. I think both of those places are great spots for him to land, but I think Baltimore is the place where he's most needed.
Yeah, and I mean, to your point, like, he would be the most accomplished receiver, bar none, going there. Does he have to be, though? Like, because he won't play for the first 8 weeks or so of the season, yeah, because he's going to be out till October rehabbing this injury. They still have Mark Andrews. They rely so heavily on their the tight end in the passing game. They run the ball very effectively. Like, he doesn't have to be that guy, but he can consistently be your big play threat anytime he steps on the field, and kind of easing him into that role, I think it's a no-brainer. And if you're the Baltimore Ravens, you said, RC, like, he wants to go to a place that can contend. This is a team that missed the playoffs last year. I mean, they're going to be very hungry. Lamar Jackson's going to be very hungry, whether he has the contract at that point or not, to get his team there. You bring in a missing piece in the passing game to help Lamar take his game to the next level, and also kind of throw another wrinkle that people aren't always expecting from this Baltimore Ravens team. They're expecting a run-first attack, a very heavy run-first attack. Throw another wrinkle in there with OBJ, and I think they're a top team in the AFC North.
But the only thing with that is, I don't know if OBJ would want that. Just because if he's going to want to be on a team that's really going to contend.
That's a team that can really contend, and he can help them get there.
Yeah, I agree. I think when you look at the Baltimore Ravens.
Mm-hmm. Okay, remember one thing before Ryan tells me about Beckham and this, that, and the other. Two organizations traded him, and two organizations got down on him. Giants traded him.
Yeah.
Browns traded him. Two organizations. This is a Hall of Fame talent wide receiver. Mm-hmm. So the idea that he has all of a sudden cleared that up when he was desperate with the Rams. That was his last choice, last chance. And that now all of a sudden it's, you know, he's grown, he's this, that, and the other. Be careful, because when he goes to the next team, he's going to want catches, because that's going to result in money.
Yeah.
And if they don't give him the ball every single time, you know something is going to, somebody's going to say something. And that's what I mean about him being a distraction.
Pretty good last option, he's, though, to go to a place that just won a Super
but
Bowl.
But I'd want that distraction in the Super Bowl, because you saw how he was playing before he went
down. He's into it. He's great.
Go ahead, RC.
Yeah, he's very, very rich, first off. And I think... And I do understand that when we have these conversations about some of these players, my insight is different. Obviously, he's a friend of mine. He's someone I talk to pretty often. And in talking to him, like, I've seen the growth. I've seen the growth of him as a man. I've seen the growth of him as a player. I've now seen that growth translated to him being a great father. And I think, you know, we do get stuck in these places where, you know, we don't allow history or we don't allow history to be a part of the equation. We sometimes allow it to be the entire equation. And I don't think you get to just write off that Los Angeles was his last place and not speak about the way he behaved there. Speak about the way that locker room feels about him, or Matthew Stafford says he works and he learns and he comes in each and every day to be a part of the whole. Because and not to besmirch him in any way, we saw another wide receiver in Tampa Bay also be on his last chance. And in his last chance, we watched him jumping jack off a field with no shirt on. And so I don't think we get to talk about a person being on their last chance and succeeding in that and not talk about the value of that when there are some that don't do that. And so for me, I don't think the distractions will be a thing. I believe he's learned from those. I believe he's shown that through his actions. And, you know, I guess all we could do is wait and see. What we know is when healthy, he's still one of the top receivers in the NFL. And if the maturity is something that is consistent, he can also be an asset to a locker room, having gone through the things that he's gone through and made some of the missteps he has.
But we also know, too, I mean, I don't know if you guys have seen his Instagram. I looked at it last night. The guy looks like a linebacker right now. He's putting in the work in training this offseason. His body looks very different from the last time we saw him play. I think a lot of teams are going to be looking at that thinking, okay, this guy, once he's ready to play, is going to be that immediate impact that we know he can be.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. to the Bay we go. It's Trey Lance's team now after the 49ers officially announced a switch to the 2021 number 3 overall draft pick over Jimmy Garoppolo. The second-year quarterback has taken over a team with high expectations after making it to the NFC Championship game last season. And according to star receiver Deebo Samuel, Lance is getting better day by day. Here's Lance on adjusting to the game.
I think when we say things slowing down, it's just getting better. And for me, it's every single rep. Like every rep I take, I think the game slows down. And that's kind of the way I'm going about it every single day, you know, one day at a time. And every single rep, just trying to learn as much as I can from it.
We're all trying to get better day by day. At least we should be. So Trey Lance, a part of that 2021 draft class where we saw a lot of talent at quarterback get drafted. Many starters for their teams already. RC, which second-year QB do you expect to make the biggest leap in their sophomore campaign? Talk to me.
I think it's going to be Trevor Lawrence. Now, this doesn't mean that Trevor Lawrence ends up having the most success or ends up having the best team of the quarterbacks drafted. Obviously, you realize Trevor Lawrence is drafted first overall because Jacksonville absolutely stunk. But you think you go out, you get Cedric Wilson, you add Christian Kirk. And most of all, you got addition by subtraction is that Urban Meyer is no longer his head coach. You get someone like Doug Peterson, who was able to tutor Carson Wentz very early on in his career. He understands those type of elite talents. He understands relating to the NFL quarterback and meeting those guys where they are. This is also a team that's truly focused on building a team around Trevor Lawrence. They're not doing what we're seeing the Chicago Bears do, which is build around Justin Fields in the way like you don't even want him to be your quarterback, with spending the second least, or as far as the cap is concerned, the second least hit offensively in the entire league. We always knew Trevor Lawrence was an elite talent. Trevor Lawrence was the chosen one since entering Clemson in his freshman year, replacing Kelly Bryant. But we watched last year, and there were spurts, there were throws, there were movements in the pocket. We got to see him improvise and get to the second play down the field, but we didn't see enough of it. We didn't see enough structure. We didn't see enough progression, and I believe with this offseason, with the new head coach, with the new regime, with the new focus on skilled players and surrounding Trevor Lawrence with the right people to allow him to use that skill set, I think we see a huge jump from the guy that was tied for the tops in the league in interceptions with only 12 touchdowns to add to that, to someone who totally switches those statistics around and allows the Jacksonville Jaguars to win more games.
I will listen. That's very fair. I mean, Ryan and I agree on that. I could take Lawrence too. I'll be a little different. I'll go Zach Wilson of the Jets. I think the Jets have a chance to be a much better football team. They brought offensive people in. Garrett Wilson, a kid from Ohio State. They brought the tight end in from Cincinnati. Their offensive line is pretty good. I mean, if Fant's going to play left tackle, Beckham, if he's healthy, plays the other tackle. Wilson can run around a little bit. He showed some signs last year when he's got a big arm. So I just think that maybe I'll be a little different here because, you know, the body of work was not a lot of games. I'll say Wilson because of his explosiveness. Got a little Patrick Mahomes in him. So I'll say Wilson has the best chance for the upside as a second-year quarterback.
Little Patrick Mahomes, how?
Like, as he runs, he throws on the run well. He can run left, throw right down the field. He's got a huge throwing arm. And I know that Chris Sims has made that comparison. He's got a little Patrick Mahomes. He knows more about quarterbacks than I do, so I'll go with that.
Mm-hmm. And I think Breece Hall. I mean, when we look at all the things that are around Zach Wilson, that was my favorite day two draft pick from this past group. I'll say Trey Lance for a number of reasons, and we heard him there on the rejoin with the sound of things are slowing down. I just caution him, like, don't say that too often because Justin Fields said something similar last year and got killed for it after things didn't seem to slow down. It's tough for rookie quarterbacks. It's tough for anybody coming into the NFL. And he had such a limited sample size coming out of college, one game. Last year, you know, he's 1-1 as a starter. He looked fine in 86 dropbacks last year. Can he improve on that? Absolutely, because what the San Francisco 49ers did in making sure there was no sort of quarterback controversy and there was any sort of battle between him and Garoppolo, getting rid of the notion of that immediately and telling Garoppolo to go seek a trade, I think was the smartest thing that they could have done, saying, hey, Trey, this is truly your team. That you from the jump, you don't have to, you know, fight to earn this job this year. This is your team. So starting from training camp, he's getting all of the reps. He is the guy, and he goes to a team that, to me, I feel like is already kind of Super Bowl ready. considering Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, George Kittle. He's got a great group of receivers, pass catchers to throw to. Really, the only big departure they had this offseason on offense was Alex Mack, their center, who retired. Yeah. So,
and the division's not as strong.
Exactly. I mean, I think that he's in a spot right now. Kyle Shanahan's your play caller. Anytime you're in a situation where you have somebody who, you know, drew up all of the workings of the seventh best offense last year, a team that got to the NFC Championship, I think he's in a really good spot for growth. Now, is that to say that that won't come without some, you know, growing pains along the way? This guy hasn't played a lot of football in the last couple years. So, of course, you expect it to be a learning curve, but it might not be as steep of a learning curve as we think, because that team is a veteran group that went to the championship game last year. So much of that comes back, and so much of that now is at Trey Lance's disposal.
Right decision.
I think what Courtney is saying is why I prefaced my pick of Trevor Lawrence being the guy that takes the biggest leap with, it doesn't mean he'll have the most success individually or team-wise. Because if this question was presented as who's best set up to have the best year of the second-year quarterbacks, I would have picked Trey Lance. And I think it's for all the reasons that Courtney just stated, and it's not, I won't repeat them. The reason I didn't pick Trey Lance was because the sample size was so small. And I think it would be very difficult for me to compare the 2 years and say, oh, that was a leap, because it'll almost be like seeing, and obviously Patrick Mahomes was great in his first start for Alex Smith. It would be like watching Patrick Mahomes burst on the scene and being like, he took the biggest leap of the second year quarterbacks when we didn't really get to see a lot of them. I think Trey Lance is in a position. All I'm hearing is how great Brandon Ayuk is playing, someone I got to see a ton of at Arizona State. Obviously, Deebo Samuel signs back. This is the team that we've watched generate offense with Jimmy Garoppolo, who many of us feel is limited from a talent standpoint. So I think when you're looking at a player who's most uniquely positioned to have a very successful season this year, both individually and also by team success, I think that player is Trey Lance, and I think that's Trey Lance by a long shot.
Okay, no one mentioned Justin Fields, and I'm just curious why.
Well, I mean, I covered the Chicago Bears for ESPN.com. I'm at training camp every single day. And this team is very much at the beginning of building something that's going to take a long time to get there. They don't want to call it a rebuild. I understand that that's, you know, for players coming in and out every single day, that's a tough thing to refer to it as. But you've got to look at what's not around Fields. The fact is, right now, the Bears are down three of their top four wide receivers due to injury. We know N'Keal Harry has an ankle injury, which was apparently pretty severe. I saw it on Saturday. He couldn't walk going off the field. Byron Pringle, who was very much in the running to be their number two, has a quad injury and not timetable on his return. Will he be out for the regular season? There's the hope that he'll be back, but there's all these question marks, and there's not a ton of proven production outside of Fields and Darnell Mooney, and even Cole Kmet, the tight end, that is going to be a huge security blanket for him in the red zone. I'm talking about two pieces, though, that are proven. There's just not, and you don't even want to get me started on the offensive line with that group either.
I guess what I want to know, Ryan, is it victim of circumstance just based on the lack of talent and the injuries, what you're talking about around him, or is it cap talent?
I think a lot of it has to do with, you could have drawn up on a board, like, priorities and positions. You could have thrown a dart at any of them. This was a talent-deficient team when Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus took over, because they were building something new. So they said goodbye to 20-plus veterans that were on the team in free agency.
Yep.
Like, I understand people are going to criticize the decision to go defensive back with their top two draft picks. That secondary was awful last year. 27 of 31 passing touchdowns allowed were allowed by a cornerback on the Chicago Bears. So you can understand the argument for the team making the choice to go defensive back with Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker to fix an area that was a huge issue for them last year, and not going wide receiver and offensive line. I think the criticism league-wide is that they didn't do enough in free agency, giving him proven veteran talent around him to help him make the jump in year two. So for Justin Fields, of all the five that we talk about, I mean, we can throw Davis Mills in the mix, but the five first-rounders from a year ago, his situation definitely feels the hardest for him to make this quote-unquote big jump that we expect from quarterbacks in year two. It's murky. And If he can somehow improve without the burden of winning games on him, I think the team will be in a far better spot going into his third season in the NFL.
RC?
Yeah, I mean, she basically said it all. I just think from when you go from hiring of a coach, I mean, many times you want to pair your young quarterback up with an offensive mind, someone who can continue to work with him daily. And obviously Luke Getsy from, you know, the Green Bay Packers, who is now the offensive coordinator there, has worked with Aaron Rodgers, and he'll get an opportunity to also tutor Justin Fields. But, you know, where's the protection? Where's the explosive skill play on the outside? Where's the veteran guy who can not only be helpful in what he can do on the field, but also by leading on the grass and allowing Justin Fields to sit back and just play football? And so I just think in a situation, or from the standpoint of building around him at each and every level, they've at least failed this year. Now, it's their job to build a team. It's their job to find a winner. But when you move up, and it was the regime before him, but as an organization, when you move up spots to draft a guy 11th overall with this skill set, with this kind of talent, and when Matt Nagy in that regime fails him in his first year, you would hope that you would do more to get veteran leadership, veteran playmaking around him to make that transition to the second year a little easier. And I don't feel like the Chicago Bears had any focus on doing that.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at, more so victim of circumstance.
Well, the problem I have with Fields, there's only one game last year where I saw a spark.
Okay.
Where I saw him ignite the team. That was the Pittsburgh game. Only the one game where I said, well, look at this. I see a little something here in the quarterback. Only one. I saw it in Wilson a couple games. Saw it against Cincinnati. Saw him against Tennessee.
Yeah.
I saw it 2-3 times. And remember, very spotty finish at Ohio State. Went out the last few games. And a lot of teams bailed out on him as far as that draft is concerned. And the Giants, they made that trade, and they ended up taking him the 11th pick. I got to see, and the Ohio State quarterback's never been great. I got to see a lot more out of Fields to think he's a big-time player.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits, like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. All right, let's get back to the gridiron. ESPN.com and Football Outsiders rank the teams with the best young core players under 25 in the league. The Cowboys sit atop of the list with young stars like Micah Parsons and Trevon Diggs, and followed by the Chargers, who are anchored by 24-year-old Justin Herbert. Also in the top five are the Jets, Falcons, and Dolphins. But I want to focus on the quarterback position. So many young guns. Hold on, let me get in my chair. Excuse me, people. Been off for a little while, forgetting what I'm doing. Okay, Matt. Mad Dog, who is the best quarterback age 25 or younger?
I'm going to go Herbert myself. I think Herbert's got a chance to be a great player. Look, I talked about Fields with a spark, which I didn't see. How about Herbert in a game he lost last year against the Raiders in week 17? With the what? 5, 6, 7 fourth down completions at the end of the game to force over. That's what I want to see out of a quarterback. 4th and 8. Game on the line, let him maneuver, find a receiver, get a completion, move the chains. That's the definition of a great quarterback. And Herbert is going to be a great quarterback, I think, in the not-so-distant future. Probably not quite yet, but he will be, and I think his upside's great. I'll go Herbert under 25.
I'll go Joe Burrow, and this is such a 1A, 1B conversation, and for as long as these two are going to be playing, this is what we're going to be talking about. And there's kind of this notion out there from last year that Justin Herbert, you know, statistically was better in all different categories. I mean, he played one more game in the regular season than Joe Burrow did, but I look through all the numbers, completion percentage over expectation, adjusted completion percentage, accuracy percentage, big throw percentage, on target percentage, all of that belongs to Joe Burrow. I mean, when he fits tight window throws, he does it with accuracy. So I think when you break down certain parts of their game, big throws, accuracy, timing, all of those things to make, you know, such an explosive offense as the Cincinnati Bengals had, that's why I go with Joe Burrow in this one. And it's not to say anything really wrong about Justin Herbert. I'm just trying to, like, nitpick here because both of them are tremendous quarterbacks. Both of them are going to get paid. Both of them are going to be, you know, the next one, too, whether it's, you know, becoming the category of Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. We're constantly going, you know, head-to-head with both of those guys. These two will be the next.
I'm going Lamar Jackson. And I guess I'm just going to be the guy that's on this limb all day. Don't get me wrong. I love both of these dudes. I think I remember when the top 10 quarterbacks came out, and I think Joe Burrow was 5, and maybe Justin Herbert was 6. I only wanted to push those guys back to add Lamar Jackson to my top 5. And when you look at who these guys are and you think about their ages, Joe Burrow's actually older than Lamar Jackson. Joe Burrow also has a Heisman, as does Lamar Jackson. At this point in Lamar Jackson's career, he was also unanimous MVP. Joe Burrow's not. Justin Herbert is not. Early on in our argument, Mad Dog said the reason that Joe Burrow was ranked above Lamar Jackson was because he had playoff wins and he had led a team to a Super Bowl. Last I checked, Justin Herbert hasn't even been to the playoffs. And so I think we're always, and this is what we do, it's our jobs. We will find our own ways to quantify why such and such player is what we say they are. When I look at Lamar Jackson, I believe he's revolutionized the quarterback position even more so than what we saw Michael Vick do it. We've also seen him be highly successful, albeit regular season, with this style of play. Having AFC North championships, finding ways to be the MVP, having this team sitting at week 10 atop the AFC North with a battery or with a ton of injuries. And so to me, with what Lamar Jackson has accomplished to this point in his career and who Lamar Jackson has been in his 4 years in the NFL, it's hard for me to say that either of these two men have accomplished what Lamar has done. Now, you ask me what happens when they're 28th, we can revisit this conversation. But for right now, Lamar Jackson has done much more in this league to me than both of these young men.
Joe Burrow went to the Super Bowl last year.
I understand that. I understand that, you know, wholeheartedly. I understand it 100%. And I'm not saying that I don't think Joe Burrow is an extremely good player. And, you know, we can sit here and nitpick about wins and going to Super Bowl. Joe Flacco also won a Super Bowl. I played against Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco wasn't that good. And I'm not saying that Joe Burrow is not. I'm not saying that Joe Burrow wasn't a large part of his team getting into the Super Bowl, but and saying he outplayed, I hate even doing this, and saying he outplayed Patrick Mahomes in the second half of the Kansas City Chiefs AFC Championship, that was because of Lou Anarumo. And saying that he went to Tennessee and got a win on the road, that was because of Ryan Tannehill's bad play and great play by the defense of Lou Anarumo. And so, and also understand in the Raiders game, it was the big stop, Derek Carr not throwing the ball into the end zone. And a lot of the big plays made are Joe Burrow, his ability to stand and take sacks and stand in the fire, get 9 sacks and never change on the sideline. I think all of those things are great. I think Joe Burrow is a top 6 quarterback.
Got it.
I'm not arguing about that. But I think when it comes to Lamar Jackson and his successes, right, and his successes, we always point to playoff wins. When before going to the AFC Championship and getting Stephon Diggs, Josh Allen didn't have those things. And so I think that we have to stop moving the goalposts on Lamar Jackson and focus on what he has accomplished. And to me, what he has accomplished, at least individually, is more than what these young men have accomplished. And they've only played 2 years. I also think there's more around them from a passing standpoint, which we continue to speak of as to say why they are better. And that's just my decision.
Real quick, because I know we got to go to break. No one's mentioning Kyler Murray. No one's mentioning the Cardinals at all. And I'm just curious. He got that big contract. I'll come to you on this, Mad Dog. And then, obviously, they were kind of world beaters to start the season last year. And then obviously they trailed off when the wide receiver got hurt, DeAndre Hopkins.
Right.
But like, what is the ceiling for this Arizona Cardinals team and Kyler Murray?
I think the Cardinals go into the year with a lot of question marks. I mean, he was awful at the end of last year. Christmas Day against the Colts, took himself out of the game against the Rams in the postseason. They had to put Colt McCoy in there. The contractual scenario, the study hall, which I know the Cardinals rescinded. The coach is not Lombardi. They have a lot of issues, the Cardinals. I'd be very worried about them starting of the year.
Yeah, no, I'm in complete agreement with you. And to your point about, like, maybe some friction between Kyler and Cliff, I mean, he did have him call plays so we could see just how hard his job was last week during practice. So I think that the Cardinals are in a really terse situation entering this year, and they're going to be without DeAndre Hopkins for the first six games.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take Podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Some good news for Saints fans. Receiver Michael Thomas participated in 11-on-11 drills for the first time since 2020 Saturday. Thomas missed all of last season after having surgery on his left ankle, but Thomas had absurd production to start his career with 470 catches from 2016 to 2019. That's the most by any player in four seasons in NFL history, while also ranking top five in receiving yards and TD catches. But again, he's only played 9 of 33 possible regular season games since 2020. He was hampered by that ankle injury last season. Courtney, I want to start with you here. Do you think Michael Thomas can be a top 10 receiver again?
No, because, and it's no real slight on him. It's just that so many other guys who have been producing in the time that he's been gone, they're higher on the list for me. Like, my top 10 list is Adams, Kupp, Hill, Jefferson, Diggs, Chase, Hopkins, Debo, Mike Evans, and Keenan Allen. I don't know where I would put Michael Thomas into the mix there. And for me, I mean, he's a long way from that 149 catch season. This is an offense that just drafted Chris Olave with a first round pick. They've got Jarvis Landry, you know, in the slot there. There's Alvin Kamara, who's very dangerous at catching passes out of the backfield. I don't know if he'll get the production within this offense to be able to be a top 10 receiver, if we're going to look at it statistically by the end of the year.
Yeah, no way I can put him in the top 10. Courtney did a great job. Yeah, also throwing the fact, no Breeze and no Sean Payton. So he doesn't have his quarterback and doesn't have Payton. Now he's got Dennis Allen, who we discussed earlier today. And who knows who their starting quarterback is going to be. So, and I have a Chase, Adams, Jefferson, Hill, Hopkins, Kupp. I'll put Metcalf in there, as I love him. I like A.J. Brown. I love him. So there is a lot of wide receivers in the NFL. You cannot put him in the top 10. You can't miss 2 years and all of a sudden come back and you're a top 10 receiver. You can't do that. You got to play. Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of those things when we're trying to predict, and in trying to predict, can he be a top 10 receiver? I don't know how you say he can't. When you look at a guy over 140 plus catches, over 1,700 yards, and it was a different offense then, and he was playing with one of the, or if not the most accurate quarterback we've ever seen, but it also was old Drew Brees. It was Drew Brees that couldn't push the football down the field, and it was Michael Thomas using his body, using his awareness, using his toughness to make these catches, and I don't think those things go away. And yes, he's been away for the game. game for 2 years, and injuries do factor in. But I think back to a guy like Odell Beckham Jr., and I think back to the production we started to see late last season. This was Odell Beckham Jr., who was coming off of an ACL injury, who was coming off of downtime, or was coming off of down years in Cleveland, and we watched him be able to produce, even on a team with a guy like a Cooper Kupp, who got more of the targets, or most of the targets. And so when I look back at some of the film of Michael Thomas, the way he plays the game, the way he understands the game, and the usage and the help and benefit that he could be to Jameis Winston, also playing with other places, players around him who can attract attention, I believe he can move in to the top 10. And I think by even listening to Mad Dogs and listening to Courtney's top 10s, which both of them are conversational pieces and can be correct based on opinion, I think Michael Thomas is a guy that can inch into that. Keenan Allen, who I believe is a top 3 route runner in the entire league, I don't necessarily know if statistically we could say right now unequivocally he'll do more than Michael Thomas, when what we do know is when we take the best of years, if you remove Cooper Kupp, who's at the top, obviously, if you remove a guy like Devontae Adams, maybe Chase and Jefferson, numbers-wise, he can rival a lot of these players. Numbers-wise, he has had better years than most of these players, and so you can throw him in that conversation, and to say that he has no opportunity to be top 10 to me is kind of disrespectful to what that man has accomplished in his career already.
He's not a Hall of Famer. He retired tomorrow and never play another game. He's not a Hall of Famer. I don't think he'd get the votes to be in the Hall of Fame. So he's got to do more to get into that category.
But he's young.
Well, no, but I said if he never played another game.
Okay.
A lot of these receivers, Hill's going to make the Hall of Fame.
I guess I just don't understand. I don't understand what that has to do with the 2022 top 10 receivers, when it's arguable that 2 years ago or 3 years ago when he played, not arguable, he was the best receiver in football, at least statistically. And I think now to start bringing this to a Hall of Fame conversation is something we can't do, or something that doesn't necessarily pertain to what we're talking about. You cut off a lot of careers right now, and guys are Hall of Famers.
Even his career prior to the injuries, Kupp right now, he never played another game, he's going to the Hall of Fame. Hopkins is going to the Hall of Fame. Hill is going to the Hall of Fame.
Cooper Kupp is not going to the Hall of Fame.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. If he never played another game right now. Oh, yes, he won a Super Bowl. Yes, he is.
Cooper Kupp.
Yes, if Cooper Kupp never played another football game, he would get the votes to go to the Hall of Fame. It's not even debatable. Cooper Kupp's been the best receiver in football for 3 years in a row. He's going to the Hall of Fame.
Mad Dog, that's a lie. That is a lie. And stop raising your voice to try to be right. That's a lie.
Until this year, Cooper Kupp wasn't counted
in anybody's top 5.
Cooper Kupp
wasn't a top 5 receiver until this year.
Cooper Kupp.
You're supposed to be a historian.
No. Go ask the voters. Go ask them. Go ask the Peter Kings and the people
They must be voting like you vote for the Heisman, where you just vote on whoever the hell you want based on the fact that they play quarterback.
Ryan, I've been voting. Hold it out. You said something. I'm going to comment. I've been voting for the Heisman since before you were born.
You're going to stop screaming at me, bro. That's the last time.
You're going to stop screaming at me. No, you said something
Lower
that wasn't
your
right.
Voice.
I've been voting for the Heisman before you were born. Okay? It's 30 years.
I don't care about that.
You just said I'm voting for the Heisman. I don't deserve a vote. I've been voting in for 30 years. So I've obviously done something right.
I never said you don't deserve a vote. What I said is, when the way you spoke about voting for the Heisman, I disagree with because I don't believe that just because you don't play quarterback, you can't win it. And what I'm saying is Cooper Kupp before this year was not considered a top 5 receiver. Devontae Adams, DeAndre Hopkins, and those guys were largely considered better than him.
Now
what I'm saying is because he had a triple crown year, if Cooper Kupp doesn't play, that doesn't put him into the Hall of Fame, but it actually doesn't pertain to this conversation. Okay. You're making things up.
All right, this is when all the fans at home hate me because they're going to see this clip on YouTube and be like, Molly, this was the hottest part of the show and you cut it off. Well, this has been really fun. Courtney's headed to radio. You are headed to baseball. Ryan is headed to Pittsburgh Steelers camp. Keyshawn, Jay, Will, Amber will be here with me tomorrow. I hope you have a fabulous day. I will see you at 10. Goodbye.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.